the band. Thank you so much, band. Wow, that was great worship. Very cool. Everybody good? Everyone good? Yeah, listen, I'm going to start off today by singing. Is that okay? How is everyone doing? Have you had a good week? Everyone survived the wind yesterday? That was rough. I had to go take shelter in Uitenhage. I had to go take shelter in Karicha. But even there, the southwesterly got us. So it's wonderful to be with you. We've been going through a series called Activation. And we've been speaking about a few different things about how we express our faith in everyday life. And I've had the privilege over the last few weeks also to talk about not only the prodigal son a few weeks ago, but the last time I had the privilege of preaching, we spoke about prayer and praise, yeah. And in that way, we express our faith. Today, we're sort of wrapping up this activation series, and we're going to talk about expressing our faith in the gaps. Sorry, can I have the iPad that was on the stage here somewhere? That one. I need that one. My notes are on it. Well, it's okay if I could just sing the whole time. I don't need notes for that. So what I wanted to talk to you about today is expressing our faith in the gaps. The gap between what someone said to you and how you'll respond. The gap, no, the other one on the stand that was here. Sorry. Thanks, son. Brett's one, yeah. So how are you at expressing your faith in the gaps? The moment after somebody didn't text you back. What do you do in that gap? When somebody maybe said something that hurts you, what are you doing in the gap? When somebody overlooked you for a promotion, what do you do in the gap? In your marriage, your spouse forgot to tell you about a thing that I'm supposed to do in time. That's my thing, okay? I'm like, oh, Charisse, I've got this thing tomorrow. She's like, Vincent, you must tell me in advance. I don't forget, I'm sorry. How are you in the gap between somebody failing you or even you fail? Ah, there we go. I have notes. Thank you, Sandra. You know, we struggle in the gaps, don't we? But gaps are important. I'll illustrate with music. You know, great musicians work gaps into music. Because if the music was just straight timing all the way through to the end, it would be incredibly boring. But what they do is they use the gaps intentionally. They know what to do in the gaps. As believers, we have to know what to do in the gap. Today's sermon is called Mind the Gap. I was going to say, get gap cover. But get gap cover. But honestly, I had gap cover, and then when I wanted to claim, they said no. So that next month, I also said no. So gaps are important. What do believers do in the gaps? We're going to talk about what Joseph in the Old Testament did in the gaps. His gaps were not only a few minutes or a few days. His gaps, years. What did Jesus do in the gaps? What did David do in the gaps? Let's take our cue from music a little bit and hear what the gaps are doing to the music. Thank you.
that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but
beautiful song. So that song had to be sung. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I da, 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 ba, 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 ba. Would anybody enjoy that? I think maybe to learn it, yes, but to express what it means, we need gaps, we need pauses. How are you in the pauses? Let's look at this verse, Proverbs 19, sorry, I'll start there. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. We're going to look at how you will live a life that is glorious if you can overlook offenses. Now, I know some people are very offensive. Okay. Anybody know one? Don't stick up your hand if you're sitting next to them. So, maybe you don't know who you're offending. You don't know what people are saying about. Do you? And we shouldn't rack our brains about that. We got to look for the gap between action and your reaction. What will you do? Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Similar to the New Testament scripture that says, love covers a multitude of sins. So, how are you in the gap? Well, what happens in the gap is often when you leave it to nothing, something is going to happen. And we have to be very intentional about it, because you might say something and somebody interprets it incorrectly. Let's see what Revelation 12 says to us about the person who really likes using the gap if you don't have a plan for it. Revelation 12:10 says, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Here is where the devil likes to play, in the gaps. In the gaps. Accusations. Somebody didn't do something. If you haven't got a plan, your mind starts accusing. That person doesn't like me. That person doesn't want to see me succeed. I think that person's just being an idiot. Or maybe they don't love me anymore. Maybe this person's just with me for something else. So in that gap, you choose how to fill it. You choose how to fill the gap. The devil wants you to fill the gap with accusations. So you need gap cover. What are we going to do? Between what somebody else does and what your response will be. You see, when I do something that offends my wife or Michael or somebody close to me, then if I had to explain it, I would say, but you know my heart. My heart is not to hurt you. Give me a break. I didn't mean it like that. Isn't it always when we sort of accuse or do something wrong, we're like, hey, man, just understand my heart. Has anybody ever started a conversation with you like that? Hey, man, I want to tell you something, but just know my heart. How many of you know that there's like some truth bomb is about to drop on you? You're the target. So you make an excuse for yourself. You're telling them, hey, it's not my character to come across like that. But what if somebody offends you? Then you think, oh, no, that person's character. Then we accuse them. We don't give them the same break that we would require. So we interpret some of other people's actions in a way that we wouldn't interpret for our own if it was us making those actions. So what are you putting in the gap? You see, the enemy wants us to fill the gap with accusation. She doesn't love you. He's out to get you. Hurt them back. Cut them off. See, accusations destroy marriages. Accusations destroy churches, friendships. Accusations destroy relationships. That assumption of somebody else, and your mind keeps drifting because you've got nothing to put in the gap. And all that comes in is accusations. So today, four things about what every believer needs to put in the gap. Number one, fill the gap with love. Ephesians 4 verse 2 says, always be humble. Who thinks that's easy? Always be humble. Okay, easy. It says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. 1 John 4:11 says, beloved, if God loves us, we also ought to love one another. Often what happens is you interpret somebody's words or not messaging you back or person doing something that you don't agree with, then what you do is you turn your love off. It's like, okay, I'm interpreting that as you don't like me, so I don't like you back, and I'm going to turn my love off now. But what this verse is saying is that even then, keep your love on. Usually what I tell to people, especially marriages, if we're meeting together, I say, if your wife or your husband does something that makes you furious, just imagine your finger on a light switch. And the more they do something, if they do something to annoy you, often what you do is you just switch the light off, turn it off. Sorry, love is off. For men, you know what that means. Awkward laughter. But what I want you to see in your head is keep that your finger on the down. Because down is on for some reason in our world and up is off for some reason. But keep that light switch on. Hold your hand on. Keep your love on. Somebody offends you. Keep it on. Figure out ways to keep it on. So we have to be quick to respond, to fill the gap with love. To be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. We cannot say, God, please love me and please give me a break and tell everybody else to give me a break because you interpreted me incorrectly, but we're not willing to give anybody else a break by loving them through their faults. That's what a church is, isn't it? We love each other through our faults. Secondly, the thing every believer has to practice to do to fill the gaps, this is a tough one, practice instant repentance. In the moment, when I forgot to tell my wife, I'm sorry, I should have told you. No reasons, no excuses, just in the moment. Because for as long as you cannot say sorry, you cannot deal with the realities of your own weaknesses. For as long as you can't say sorry, you cannot honestly deal with the realities of your shortcomings. Often men, I'll speak on our behalf, if I may. Men think that putting on a brave face, and so do some ladies. I remember praying for all the ladies in the nursing at Green Acres Hospital during COVID. We would go there and the nurses would come and just ask for prayer. Mostly the staff would come for prayer because what they're saying is like, I pretend to be strong, but I'm not strong. I can't be strong anymore. I can't pretend anymore. You see, a weak man pretends to be strong where he has a weakness. But a brave man and a strong man says, here is my weakness. I need to work on it. You bring it to the Lord and you say to people, come alongside me, please. I have a weakness here. That is a strong man. A weak man hides his faults. A strong man shows him and says, I'm weak there. Help me. That is a strong man. You see, David was brave enough also to face his own failure. And he repented before God in an instant when he knew he was at fault. And he said, "Against you and you alone, Lord, have I sinned," when he sinned against some people. Against God alone. And we have to remember why we have to be quick to say sorry is because Christ died for my fault, but also for that person's faults. And for as long as we cannot say sorry, I think we struggle to receive the grace for our own faults. That as soon as we deal with them, mercy waits for us. Grace waits for us. If you want to experience the wells of God's mercy and grace, acknowledge your weakness to say, "I'm sorry I did that. Help." Can we do that as a church in relationships and in marriage? That's so important. Number three, something we have to learn to do is to practice not only instant repentance, but instant forgiveness. This is a big one. Let's talk about the story of Joseph. Joseph was one of the sons of Jacob, and he was the favorite guy. And he had his special jacket, you know. And what had happened is he was a bit unwise by telling them a dream that he had and said, "No, I see the sun and the moon and the stars all bowing down to me." And the brothers interpreted that as, "Are you saying we're going to bow down to you?" So they interpreted him as proud. But maybe that wasn't his heart. Pretty soon after that, they sold him into slavery. And this one brother, it was his idea, Judah. Judah said, "Let's not kill him. Let's sell him into slavery so that, you know, our hands are clean." So Joseph then has to forgive at that moment. He gets sold into slavery and he gets a cool job. At this cool job he had in Potiphar's house, this powerful man, Potiphar's wife, tries to lure him, tempt him, and he says no. But she accuses him and he gets thrown in jail. Joseph has to forgive again. He helps two men get out of jail and with the dreams that they have. And he said, "Remember me when you're restored." And they both forgot him in jail then and didn't sort of speak up for him. He has to forgive again. Eventually, Joseph is basically ruler of all of Egypt. And his brothers come back. They don't know that that's him that's sitting there ruling basically the entire land. And they come begging for food. And he has to forgive, I think, again. It's interesting that it seems like with the life of Joseph, the greater the depth of his forgiveness, the greater the calling on a person's life. That if we want to really be powerfully used by God, as Joseph was, you're going to have to learn to forgive instantaneously. Now, there are some things that are tough to forgive. There are some things that you might say, "Well, does it mean I forgive? Can I forgive somebody but still not prosecute them?" No, do the thing that you have to do. But we have to learn to forgive. Isaiah 50, verse 69 says the following. "I gave my back to those who strike me and my cheeks to those who pull out my beard. I did not hide my face from insults and spitting. For the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I am not disgraced. Therefore, I have made my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up to each other. Who has a case against me? Let him approach me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who is he who condemns me? Behold, they will wear out like a garment. A moth will eat them." I wanted to focus for a moment on the setting his face like flint. This is a prophecy about Jesus. Now, I don't know if you know what sort of flint is. It used to be made, they used to make arrowheads and knives out of flint. And setting one's face like a flint was to say that like a piece of flint has to be harder than the thing that it's about to strike or penetrate or cut. So Christ faced the hard job of forgiving us through his death. You have to almost be harder or tougher than the thing in the circumstance. So setting our face like flint, imagine an arrow that has to hit through something to be able to strike the enemy, has to hit through a shield. A knife has to cut through something else. You have to almost do the tougher work to get the breakthrough. So we have to be determined to do the harder work of forgiveness if we want the result of victory. That is what setting his face like flint means. Forgiveness goes ahead like a flint. It's the first thing to cut or the first thing to strike. You see, unforgiveness shuts down future grace. And when you forgive someone, you prepare future grace for the guilty and for yourself. Like Joseph was learning to forgive every step of the way. Every time he forgave, what he didn't know he was doing is he was building a bridge behind him of forgiveness that his brothers would eventually walk over for the saving of their lives. We don't forgive somebody based on their merit. What would be any merit in forgiving me? Why does Jesus forgive me? Because of him. Because he is love. Love is not what God does, it's who he is. Let's be love. We're not forgiving other people because of their merit. We forgive someone based on the merit of Christ. Joseph forgave his brothers because he knew God gave him a word. God preserved him. When someone accuses you, do you know who they actually accuse? They accuse Christ. Because all of the accusations of the devil and all of the accusations of man has fallen upon the cross of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? That he would take that accusation upon himself. So when we accuse Christ. And Jesus jumps in front of that accusation and says, no. You see, in that Revelation scripture, it says that the accuser accuses us before God. So imagine this picture. It says, the devil goes to God and says, hey, do you know that Vincent did this and that and that and that and that and that and that and that? Because there was a lot. And you know what happens? Jesus jumps in front of that accusation and says, no, that fell on me. That fell on me now. I dealt with that. And in the story of Joseph, they dipped Joseph's coat in the blood of a goat, a scapegoat, if you were. And that thing then took the blame from the father for Joseph's life. In the same way, Christ's blood takes the blame for our sin before the Father. Our enjoyment and acceptance of God's forgiveness for us and others today paves the way for grace tomorrow. Joseph had a big calling to fulfill. And accusations and unforgiveness will strangle your calling. It won't strangle your salvation. Nothing can. But it will definitely strangle your sense of accomplishing that for which God has sent you into this world. You might be harboring a resentment against somebody at work, biting down whenever you see them. Maybe you and your wife cannot even talk at the moment. It's so tense at home. Maybe you've got something going on with in-laws or with your own parents, with your own children. We have to put these things into the gaps. We have to forgive so that we build that bridge for them to walk across. Forgiveness is the highway to freedom. Let's learn to do it instantly, or else other things will grow in the gap. The depth of your forgiveness determines the height of your calling. So let's, firstly, fill the gaps with love. Repent in an instant. Forgive in the moment. And then lastly, we fill the gap with service. Joseph, at the end of Genesis, basically in chapter 45, he says the following. to his brothers. When he says, listen, it's me, your brother. He says, and now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. Don't be angry for sinning against me, Joseph says, because it was to save lives that God sent me like a flint ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God has sent me ahead of you to preserve you as a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Who did God want to preserve by sending Joseph? Think about that. Judah was the one who said, let's sell this guy. In the next chapter in Genesis as well, Judah does something terrible. He gets so lost. But then in chapter 44, Judah steps in for his youngest brother because Joseph said, listen, bring the younger brother here to me and he's going to stay here with me as a ransom. And Judah said, no. This brother Judah, who said, I'll sell you, said, no, this time I'm protecting the brother. I cannot go home without him. So who did God want to preserve by Joseph going into Egypt? It wasn't Joseph. It was Judah. God was preserving the sinner through the forgiver. God was preserving the sinner through the forgiver. And then Jesus is not the lion of the tribe of Joseph. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The one who protects and says, Jesus is the one now who says, I can't go back without Vincent. God sent me here. My father sent me here with my younger brother Vincent, and there's no way I'm going back without him. That is why Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Let's not get off mission, because these things are small distractions, right? Gaps. What will you do in the gap? Don't allow accusation, assumption, and resentment to happen in the gaps. We have to be quick on these four things because you have an important mission. To love the world around you. To pave the way of grace for others. To be a light into the world and salt. Don't get off mission. Mind the gap. We have such an important calling to fulfill for God's glory and for the deliverance of others. Don't minimize your role in this world. Don't think, nobody notices me. That's another accusation of the enemy. Can't you hear it? It doesn't really matter. I'll just cut that person off. They will know we are Christians by our love. Let us love freely. Let us repent quickly. And let us forgive in the gap. And let us serve together. Would you say amen to that? Now let's stand together and pray over it. Let's stand together. I'm wondering if some of you here today are holding on to things. We gotta step over it. You're holding on to things. We have to step over it. And I want to pray for you today. There are people in front as well who's going to pray for you. If you don't know what else to put in the gaps, put a song of worship in. That's what I do. Not only love, not only repent, not only forgive or serve. Sometimes put a song in there. Put a song in the gap. Put some praise in the gap. But right now, I believe there's some of us here who are just struggling to let go of some things, something someone said, something someone didn't do. You're struggling just to let go. It's eating away at you at night. You don't know what to do about it. We're just gonna pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word, and We thank you for the inspiration we can draw from the person of Joseph. Thank you, Father, that you are the perfect Judah and the perfect Joseph, the ultimate forgiver and the ultimate champion of those who need protection. But Lord, in this room today, there are some who are just struggling to let go of some things. But in the meantime, while they're struggling to let go, they themselves are withering and feel like they are being strangled and feel like they're losing their purpose. Maybe if that's you, I just ask that as everybody's eyes are closed, that just open your hands up in front of you and just open them. Just open them as just letting go. Father, I pray for these people who are opening their hands right now. Would you teach them to love like you love? Would you fill them with your love in Jesus' name? Holy Spirit, would you show to them the realities of your mercy and your love, your compassion and your plans for them? Would you also show them that if there's somebody who's hurt them, would you show them your compassion for those people? That hurt people, hurt other people. Father, would you heal us? Would you heal these people, but also give us compassion for those who we have harbored resentment against as we let these things go and open our hands, Lord. We pray that you would help us in our weakness to forgive. Would you help us in our weakness to say sorry to a spouse or to a friend or to a family member? Would you help us to live humbly and gently, as Ephesians said? Would you make us able, Father, because we are weak to do these things? Come alongside us, Holy Spirit. Come alongside every person whose hands are open now and help them to be quick to love, quick to let go, to say sorry, forgive, and quick to serve. And then, Father, teach us to be a serving people, a forgiving people, a loving people, dependent upon you for all of our strength. And I pray that as we forgive others and walk humbly and gently with them, it would pave a highway of grace behind us. Father, thank you that you've sent us ahead to be like flints, to do the work that you did. Would you inspire us to do so in workplaces, in friendships, and in marriages, that we might see a great revival of people turning to you because of your goodness, because of the forgiveness that comes only from the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank you. And a healthy church said, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful Sunday further, everybody. It's great to spend the day with you. See you this evening or next week.